tell me or explain to me how you've ended up in this position. Now, you're actually a carer yourself, aren't you?
Yes, David, I am a carer. I have a young man now, yes, with a disability. But we also got, my husband and I have got a dual caring role because we also care for his mum, who's now in a nursing home, but we still are her carers because we go and see her every Sunday. We have lots of carers like that.
So it was being in that position of a carer that made you want to become an advocate for the rights of carers, I presume. What was your experience about how those rights were being ignored when you first became a carer or were settling into that role?
Well, when I was a carer, I had to advocate right from basically from birth, because my son, I knew that there was something very different about him. I have three other children, you know, and I knew there was something very different about this child. I had to go to doctors, lots of doctors. I can't believe how many doctors that we had to go through, how many tests we had to go through, how many examinations and that sort of thing that we had to go through to get a diagnosis. That was a long journey of about 5.5 years just to get a diagnosis.
A diagnosis of what? What's his condition?
Dan has autism. He also has epilepsy, which we didn't get diagnosed for quite a while, and he ended up having clonic-tonic seizures, like they used to call the old grand mal seizures too as well. So that's impacted significantly on poor old Dan too as well in his daily life, yeah.
What were some of the big issues that you felt needed to be addressed for carers that were being ignored at the time and perhaps are still being ignored?
Some of the big issues for me was just not being listened to, not feeling that anybody really understood what I was going through, not feeling heard when I did speak up, particularly even with medical professionals or anything else like that. It was kind of like, what would you know? You're just the mother, you know? And yet I felt that I did know. I knew my child best.
Is that something that you hear carers come through the door here and talking to you say even now? Or do you feel like you're making progress on that particular issue?
I think we're making progress in some areas. One of the roles that we have here is I make sure that all my staff here and everything, that's the first thing we tune in on is really listening and picking up on the cues of what the carers are saying to us. But some systems are easy to deal with now, particularly in education system and in schools and things like that. That's where we do a lot of our advocacy for individual parents and about making sure that they're listened to at school, you know, and getting the things that they need for their child in the school. So that is making a big impact, I think, for carers.
What are some of the issues then for carers now across the board? Because I would imagine their needs and their issues have possibly changed quite a bit over the years.
One of the biggest areas for carers is they know where they need some help from, or they know they need some help, but they don't know where to go, where to start, where to start looking. It's just a really confusing maze of information and stuff out there. So one of the biggest issues for carers is we sit them down and try and identify what their needs are, what the person that they're caring for's needs are, and then we're trying to work through that with them, because they just go, I don't know what to do, Chris. I don't know where to go. And usually by the time that they've got to us in that stage, they're usually quite teary, just desperate for some help, because it's just so confusing out there in the world.
Do you ever see almost this look of relief, or you must see faces suddenly sort of light up when they realise that there is help out there? They are entitled to things like respite. They are entitled to certain payments, certain forms of support that they just weren't even aware of. Do you get that a lot?
Yeah, absolutely, David. A lot of carers, particularly around respite, is one of the biggest issues. And we do work a lot with the Commonwealth Respite Care Link Centre, who provide access to respite for carers, particularly in emergencies and short-term periods. But one of the biggest things is to get them set up so that they can have that regular break each week. And for those people, it's really important to get something in place with particular service providers and finding the service provider that matches your needs, yeah, and that's, yeah, sort of thing in the community.
So you go into bat for them, basically.
Yeah, that's part of my role is advocacy.
What about services that Carers Queensland can offer people in this role that that I guess carers listening at the moment might not actually be aware of?
The services that we offer are pretty unique and special, we think, because we offer information and support. We offer counselling. There's a free counselling service that's specifically for carers. So just on the day that they wake up and they just really need to let it out, we call dump around here, that they can do that, you know. And then we have support groups. We run about 18 support groups around the region. Yep. Once a month, usually, most of those support groups operate, and we try and give those carers in their local community some access to us. So even though those people might not want to attend support groups, I do really encourage them to get in touch with us, because when we're out and around the regions for those support groups, we can maybe do, you know, some home visits or individual stuff when we're out and about. Absolutely. A couple of the other things we've got is a Friends Care program, which is a mentoring peer support program. So we link carers up with other carers or experienced carers, or just so that they can have buddy systems, so that, you know, someone to talk to. That's an excellent program which has just come on board fully this year. And then we also have a multicultural officer as well. Part of her role is to work with carers from different cultures and also the care recipient, and help service providers that are working with those people to make sure that the services are culturally appropriate for those people. But the other part of Sally's role is to train the service providers too as well in multicultural, how to be culturally appropriate. But one of the biggest things that we do here, I think, in this office, and this is why it's so, I suppose, emotional for me as a past carer too, or as a carer myself, is we offer a lot of emotional support. Just people being able to pop in and just get that support and someone to listen to them. So that's a huge lot of emotional support.
Because that's the intangible though, isn't it? I mean, you know, there's always people who need those other services and some path through the bureaucratic maze, but what they mostly need is just an understanding ear, you know, someone who can relate.
Someone who just really will relate to them and really listen to them and be able to sort of give them some direction. I was always so afraid to ask for help, I think, in some ways, or perhaps a little bit proud to ask for help. And I really, for those listeners out there today, encourage you to just, you know, if you are struggling with your caring role, come and see us, come and talk to us, you know, ask about some help, because there is help out there.
What can the average person listening who's not a carer, what can they do to help lighten the load of carers?
Give them recognition and value for what they do. If you see an older lady out helping her mum do the shopping or something like that, even doctor surgeries and things like that, they can do a lot by just recognising the fact that they're a carer and helping them to get their appointment through and, you know, those sorts of things. Just everybody in the community. And we do recognise that during Carers Week, because we've got the Carer Friendly Business Awards. Absolutely. And we've got people honoured through that process. Builders, a lot of chemists, a lot of pharmacists. They're obviously doing it because the carers are recognising it and saying, they just went that little bit extra mile for me. They delivered my packs when I was sick. So just, I guess, if you're aware of a carer or you've got a neighbour who's a carer, if you can just extend a hand and say, is there anything I can do to help you? Because so often carers won't ask for help, so maybe you need to extend the hand to offer them some help.
It's National Carers Week. What do you want the average person to know about carers and the situation they face that perhaps isn't widely known?
I guess that the fact is that for Carers Week, we're trying to find those carers that don't identify themselves as carers. We often get a lot of carers who'll say, oh, but I'm his mum, I'm his dad, or she's my wife, you know, I have to do this and that sort of stuff. Yes, that's true, and you do it for the loved ones. We have neighbours who look after their next-door neighbour, and they help them by going and doing their shopping for them or taking them to the doctor or all that sort of stuff. Well, Carers Queensland, we recognise them as carers, and we're here to support them with information and support and you know, linking them up with others. So it's those people out there who are listening who are thinking, oh, well, that makes me a carer. Yeah. Get in touch with us, or at least speak up and ask for some help.